High-speed internet is not a given in rural Georgia. A recent UGA survey finds that 16% of Georgians are without access to a broadband connection, and most live in rural broadband deserts. And yes, the stakes are higher than getting the latest Netflix series to stream without interruption. Here to talk about these no broadband access areas is Eric McCray. He is the Associate Director of UGA's Carl Vinson Institute of Government. Eric, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Hey, tell me why you took on this project, and had you looked at this issue before?
We had looked at this issue in the past. We had actually been tasked by the Georgia Technology Authority to research and look at broadband in Georgia under the Stimulus Act. And on this, in this particular instance, we had been asked by the Joint High-Speed Broadband Communications Access for All Georgians Study Committee from the Georgia legislature to actually look at this issue with respect to rural Georgia.
One of the aims, as I recall, and correct me if I'm wrong here, of the Stimulus Act was to expand broadband access specifically to more rural areas. Is that correct?
That is correct. And in fact, they did that through the Stimulus Act. And we did see a large portion of rural Georgia receive broadband at that point in time, but we're still just not there completely.
Okay, so the irony here is that you're conducting this survey, and it's a web-based survey. So were the people you most wanted to reach able to respond?
There was some question about that, and unfortunately, the funding that was available to actually do the survey was very limited, and so the most cost-effective methodology was web-based. But we set the survey up so they could do it either via their cell phone, They could do it at work, they could do it at the library. They had the opportunity to report that the information that they were reporting was not at their residence when they were reporting it.
Okay, so let's talk about where you are right now, because there's still some work to be done in this study. I'm wondering how many responses you were able to get, and is that about the rate you expected?
We got over 12,000 responses, and we were very happy with that. We had hoped the initial push, we saw just a great response, and we hit about 8,000 in about the first 4 months. Then it kind of slowed down after that. We would have liked to have gotten more responses, mm-hmm. but it is what it is.
Okay, so Eric, did the responses you received, and I guess are still receiving, confirm or contradict some assumptions going into the study?
Well, I think one of the key things is it confirmed what we believed. There was the maps that were being produced at a federal level, the FCC, the way it was being reported, it was being reported that 97% of Georgians had access to broadband, and we just felt that that was incorrect. Mm-hmm. And this survey helped bear out that evidence, and that, you know, 16% of the folks that responded could not get wireline service, and we felt that that was probably indicative across the state.
Yeah, you're talking about maps here. Where are the most sort of broadband deserts found in the state? And I know we're talking about rural areas.
It's going to be in southwest Georgia and basically through central Georgia. There are sections in north Georgia where there are also broadband deserts, but southwest Georgia especially, and basically all through central Georgia.
So the internet, and I didn't think about it this way, is an unregulated utility, and you can explain how that's different from gas or electric. And how does the fact that it is an unregulated utility sort of impact the availability and the quality of the internet service people get?
Sure. So a regulated community would be the Public Service Commission would actually regulate those actual utilities, if you will. And internet is not regulated. And so there is no way that the government can basically come in and enforce rules upon the internet providers to say you will provide X or you will provide Y in this area. And so all of this is basically being done through supply and demand.
Yeah. So we've identified a market here for broadband service that's not being served as well as it could be, and I'm wondering why there isn't a flood of companies running into the area to provide service here.
Sure. The biggest issue is the cost to get the service to the end user. When you start talking about, you know, $16,000 per mile, and then you
make is that the cost of it?
I've had estimates from 16,000 to 30,000 miles per mile to lay the fiber and the backbone to basically get that infrastructure in place. And when you start talking about that, your return on investment is going to be extremely slow. And so the providers are looking at different methods of delivering the service, whether it's wireless or across electrical lines, you name it. They're coming up with new ways to deliver a product.
Yeah, but this ends up being a business story as well, right? So this is President Obama before his 2015 State of the Union address talking about his plan for affordable broadband for all Americans.
Today, high-speed broadband is not a luxury. It's a necessity. This isn't just about making it easier to stream Netflix or scroll through your Facebook newsfeed, although that's fun, and you want, you know, it's frustrating if you're waiting for a long time before the thing finally comes up. This is about helping local businesses grow.
And Eric, is the president correct there? I mean, describe for me how you see this issue of broadband access as a business growth issue in Georgia.
Sure. You have an individual that is sitting at home, basically, that can actually provide service, whether it's a home-based business, working in a consulting role, or any number of ways. And if they don't have access to broadband, they cannot provide those services at home. It's an economic driver. You can't have a business in modern America where you don't have an online presence.
And I'm thinking about students. Look, I've got two young students myself, and I'm thinking they're living on this device. Yeah, for all the YouTube videos and all of that, but also for work that is required for their classes.
Absolutely. And we've actually, part of the survey, we allowed people to provide comments, and we had lots of comments about folks that their daily routine was as soon as their kids got home from school, they loaded up in the car and they drove to the local Chick-fil-A.
Wow.
So they could have access to broadband to do all their homework. And in today's day and age, that's just unacceptable.
So, Eric, what's kind of the fix here as you see it? If broadband service is so important, here's the question. Should the government in some way, shape, or form get involved in this and maybe even in supplying some kind of a subsidy to companies to wire more of the state?
Well, the government's already gotten involved with this through the Connect America Fund, which they continue to do in rolling out basically for wireline carriers through the Telecommunication Act. And so it's a situation where we already have government involvement. The big issue becomes in areas where you don't have telephone providers that are providing this service. How do we get that push to get that to get broadband out there?
And Eric, is access, you know, maybe slowly, more slowly than you'd like, is access improving in Georgia?
It is. It's improving. This year alone, we had, I think it was 19 wireless towers go up so that people could have access through wireless versus through a landline connection. And so it's a situation where we see it slowly but surely improving. But for most individuals out there in rural Georgia, it's not improving fast enough.
That's Eric McCray. He is the Associate Director of UGA's Carl Vinson Institute of Government. Eric, thanks.
Thank you.
We also talked to Kyle Wingfield about this issue. He's a conservative columnist for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
As our lives and economy become more digital, urban and suburban Georgians may take high-speed internet for granted. Not so in rural Georgia. Wide swaths of the state might as well be extraterrestrials when it comes to the World Wide Web. There's a line of thought that because broadband is vital 21st century infrastructure for commerce, the government should provide it where the private sector can't or won't. Government has promoted traditional commerce with roads, canals, ports, railroads, and airports. So, this line of thinking goes, it ought to do the same for e-commerce. But rapid technological change makes a big difference. Rolls of fiber optic cable wait to be laid where land is developed. But stringing fiber optic cable over long distances is expensive. It can cost as much as $18,000 per mile, or even $40,000 per mile if it's buried underground. And all this might soon be accomplished wirelessly anyway. This means wiring every residence with miles of fiber may soon become as obsolete as an 8-track player. Here's a tempting comparison from the 20th century. Electricity. When FDR launched rural electrification in 1935, just 10% of rural Americans had electricity. And that was more extreme in Georgia. Something like 2/3 of Georgians were in the dark. But the broadband situation is different. An estimated 25% of rural Georgia households don't have access to high-speed internet. The most likely solution here is to get government out of the way. Industry representatives largely agree about what would help. Try cutting taxes on materials and equipment used to deploy broadband, and lowering fees for stringing fiber on poles owned by other utilities. In rural areas, just 4 of every 10 households with access to broadband actually subscribe to the service. A higher uptake rate would make the economics of rural broadband more practical for service providers. And so here's a thought. It just might be worthwhile to subsidize service for lower-income Georgians, rural or urban. Consider two examples. Telemedicine is increasingly sophisticated and conceivably could cut the state's Medicaid costs if enough patients had access to broadband. And since Georgia's public schools are already wired for high-speed internet, online instruction might generate enough savings to subsidize broadband in students' homes. Now, these ideas are far from proven, but they do represent the kind of holistic thinking that could yield a 21st century solution to this 21st century problem.
That was Kyle Wingfield, columnist for the AJC. And that's our show for today, but we always love to hear your comments. Does your internet connection affect your livelihood or your binge watching? You know how to reach us. Call us, leave us a message at 404-500-9457, or you can post to Twitter. We're at OST Talk. For today, that's On Second Thought from GPP News. I'm Tony Harris. Have a great day.